Hello and welcome to a special episode of We the People. Two persons have died due to coronavirus in India as of Saturday, and over 80 have tested positive. The virus that emerged in central China in December has now spread to over 130 countries and infected about 140,000 people worldwide, according to the World Health Organization, which has taken the rare step of terming this as a pandemic. The government of India has decided now to treat the COVID-19 India outbreak as a notified disaster for the purpose of providing assistance under the State Disaster Response Fund. And the reverberations and the repercussions of the spread of COVID-19 are already being felt all around us. Life as we know it is changing. Trillions of dollars have been wiped from the global financial markets this week. The US president's handling of the situation may well affect his chances of re-election in the future. The IPL has had to be postponed. Schools and colleges shut. Our regular viewers would have noticed that the We the People set and format has also changed. We the People is now without the people, given the health ministry's advice to keep away from the large crowd. So we don't have our audience here in our studio today, but we are be taking in calls from all of you. You can call in on this show on the number that will flash on your screens right now. In the midst of all of this, you're wondering, how can you keep yourself and your loved ones safe? Is India fighting COVID-19 the right way? Well, we have our doctors here in our studio. We have our experts, health experts also in studio to answer your questions. You can call in on 8377-088-377. We have Dr. Sandeep Budiraja, who is the Group Medical Director of Max Healthcare, joining us. And we have Dr. Pavan Gupta, DM of Pulmonary Medicine at the Primus Super Specialty Hospital in Chanakyapuri. And the health experts, we have the former Secretary, Ministry of Health and Family Welfare, Shailaja Chandra, here to answer that question about whether India is dealing with COVID-19 in the best possible manner. So we're waiting for your calls. You can call in. The number's on your screen. You can ask these doctors any of your concerns or what you're most worried about, any myths that you may be thinking of right now, fears, concerns, all of that. Our lines are open for you. But first, I just want to step back and take a look at the larger picture of India right now. As of Saturday, two people have lost their lives due to coronavirus in India, and over 80 have tested positive. What you're looking at, and this 80 include 17 foreigners, of which 16 are Italians and one of them is a Canadian. Now, on your screens, what you're seeing are the states across India where COVID-19 cases have been reported. Now, first, that 76-year-old man from Kalburgi, who recently returned from Saudi Arabia, he died on Thursday. And then a 68-year-old woman in Delhi who tested positive for coronavirus passed away in hospital on Friday night. The woman whose son, with a travel history abroad, had tested positive. She died because of comorbidity, which means diabetes and hypertension. That's what the health ministry has said. So, Dr. Budiraja, first to you. This is the important thing about COVID-19, because in this case, the person who died was an old lady above 60. She actually contracted COVID-19 from her son, who was the person who had actually traveled abroad, who had had travel history. But he hasn't been affected the way she has.
Yeah, so this is, we've been seeing in this pandemic all over the world, the pattern is the younger, everybody's getting affected, but the younger lot, the disease is not so severe. There's less chance of developing a bad pneumonia, and definitely much less chance of dying because of that. The older you get beyond 60 years, plus if you have underlying medical issues.
Yes.
So in this case, like diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, a kidney disease, or you are on certain medications like steroids, etc., which lower your immunity, cancer, oncology treatments, etc. So these are the group of patients who are at a higher risk of developing severe pneumonia and dying because of that. So overall mortality rate we are seeing is in terms of 2% to worst in Italy, which is 5%. But in this elderly population, the mortality rate can be as high as 15%. Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Gupta, it doesn't mean that the youth can, you know, throw caution to the winds and continue to go out and hang out and do things that they were doing before. Because, for example, that doctor in Wuhan who died, he was a so-called young person. He wasn't old. He wasn't above 60. What does this actually mean?
No, actually, everyone should take the proper precautions. It is not like that the elderly persons, they are more susceptible. Yeah, definitely the disease become more severe and the patient are more susceptible to die when it is more than 60 years.
So, is it the elderly because they are, the immune systems are lower?
Yeah, because with the age, the immunity lower downs, and in addition to that, there are multiple comorbidities like diabetes and hypertension which get associated with.
So in this case, the health ministry says that the lady, the 60-year-old who died, she didn't die of COVID-19. I mean, there's no symptoms of you dying of COVID-19. She died because of hypertension, diabetes and other illnesses that she was facing.
Yeah, because ultimately when we see the data from the China, we are seeing that the maximum patient, and the data from the Italy, that the maximum patient who died there more than the 70 year of the age.
Yes, and I read somewhere that the average age is 81. 80,
yeah, and when they saw the data retrospectively, then they found that the majority of the patients who died, they were having the associated comorbidities, maximum were having the hypertension. So with this lady, when we are saying that she was not dying because of the coronavirus and she died because of the comorbidities, we can't differentiate, but definitely the chances of dying with the comorbidities was higher in this patient.
And Dr. Gupta, we called you in specifically because you're a pulmonary specialist, you're a senior consultant, you're a pulmonologist. Why the lungs are really the ones that are most affected or the first to be affected, which is why we're saying you need to stay away from anybody who has a cough or a cold at least 3 meters away. And it's okay if a droplet falls on your clothes, but it mustn't touch your face, your mouth. Or nose, is that correct?
Yeah, because
please explain this to us.
Yeah, because the virus because the virus get transmitted by the droplet inhalation. So when it get inhaled, so it get deposited in the pharynx, larynx, vocal cord, so in the upper respiratory tract. And that's why we advise the patients for a regular washings their hands, for the hand hygiene, for regularly garglings, because when we don't gargle, so that virus may get inhaled into the lungs. So lung is the in the direct communication with the atmosphere. That is why the lung is the primary organ or the first organ to get affected after the upper respiratory tract.
Okay. We have Dr. Sangeeta Reddy, the Joint Managing Director of the Apollo Group's Hospital, President of the Federation of Indian Chambers of Commerce and Industry, of FICCI, also joining us. Dr. Reddy, thank you for your time. I want to go back to the 4th of March, where on Twitter you said that we can protect ourselves from coronavirus. There is no need to panic. Stay calm. Be aware. Not anxious. Now we've moved on to a case where we have the first death in the national capital. Do you still feel the same?
So clearly I think that there is a cause of concern, yet there should not be panic, because we need to understand that the actual mortality rate of this virus is very low. The individuals who succumbed were, of course, in the higher age group, were not completely, in an environment or an ecosystem. One individual was not even admitted in a hospital. He was, traveling from one location to another. So I want to reiterate that, number one, there's a lot that individuals can do to protect themselves. Self-isolation, hand sanitation, washing of hands, staying away from people where, the fluids, the oral fluids or the nasal fluids shouldn't fall on them. These are very, very important aspects. So I do reiterate my tweet that people should be cautious but not anxious. And I think I want to add one more line to that, and that is we should take a special care of the elderly. I said that also on the very same day. It's the elderly who are the most vulnerable. We should take care of them. And I also want to reiterate that I think a lot of the government machinery, a lot of work is being done. Now there's a series of private hospitals who have been roped in. So in case this escalates one level higher, the private hospital infrastructure will become available for citizens. So I would continue to say that period of time now is of containment. And through containment, we can prevent this linear escalation and do what they call flatten the curve. Reduce the number of cases, contain the virus, flatten the curve, keep individuals safe. disaggregate communities and try to keep the situation localized in hotspots, there are, you know, scientifically proven methodologies. We should deploy all of them, do whatever we can as individuals, and parallelly let the country, the health system, the governments get ready, which they are doing, in case this scenario escalates even further.
All right. You know, ma'am, you pointed out there that the mortality rate is very low, correctly said. But as of now, if I could just ask you also to switch hats over here and put on your Fiki President hat, because the public health officials are urging everyone to help slow the spread of coronavirus by social distancing, which really leads to isolation measures that we have not seen in recent times. Cultural, sporting events have been cancelled. Restaurants are facing empty tables. Malls are closed. Businesses are starting to work out of homes. All of that separation is vital for public health, but it's terrible for business at the levels of the economy at a time when the economy itself is not doing too well. Your response to that?
So I think there is no doubt that what we're facing is an unprecedented crisis. And this crisis has these two dimensions. One is the economic dimension, and the other is the health, safety, and life of individuals. So from the perspective, we need to take the action today to prevent escalation so that we can come back to normalcy faster. There is going to be huge economic impact, there is no doubt, whether it's restaurants, theaters, manufacturing, every sector, the airline, the travel and tourism, anyone depending on international inputs, every sector is affected. There's a psychological impact, there are people suffering, there's fear. So we need to sequence the series of responses. We need to calibrate and find the fine balance between economic considerations and public and health safety. And I think also this is the time to start highlighting the extent of the economic problem, highlighting this to the government, and I'm sure the government will come up with reactions, appropriate measures. What those measures will be, will they translate into, you know, delaying of bank interest? Will it be packages for certain sectors? I'm not able to say at this point of time, but FICCI is collating the extent of the economic impact, the sectorial analysis of this impact, and all these will be presented to the government, who I'm sure will be responsive, because it is, after all, the people of India and the economy of India which is suffering. So I can only hope that, you know, there's a quick return to normalcy, because we take effective and strong steps today, which the government is doing, that there's a recovery path, there's a respect in the global community for what India is, what India can do, and the role that India can play in the future global supply chain. So all these are things that we have to parallelly start strategizing about, but undoubtedly, decision-making today is about public health and public safety.
All right, so focus first on public health, public safety. We can deal with the economy perhaps later. Shailaja Chandra, if you can come in over here. Prime Minister Modi has tweeted that India could break the chain in the spread of the virus. We just heard Ms. Reddy say that, you know, perhaps this can be contained. Your first thoughts, because a week ago we were reporting cases being reported in the 50s, low 50s. Now we are in the low 80s, and we've seen two deaths, including one in the capital.
You know, I would put it in two baskets. One is the good basket. India has responded very quickly and very efficiently very early on. The kind of leadership that one has seen in the health ministry and the prime minister's office, I've been following it up on Twitter, I've been following it up by asking people. I am really very proud that this country was among the first to stop foreigners from coming in, visas were cancelled, and I talked to perhaps the director emergency.
A huge step.
Because, you know, this means your relatives can't come here, you can't go there if they happen to be NRIs or holding these cards, OCI cards or whatever. It means that my son can't come here if I fall sick. Fine.
Yes.
I can't go there if I want to look after them, because they are also quite susceptible. But look at the larger picture. What does it mean? You're putting your citizens' health, your citizens' safety above everything to do with commerce, industry, tourism, international cricket, all kinds of things which we have been accustomed to, because you think health of your citizens comes above everything, trade, industry. That is a huge step. Having said that, I would just like to give you two anecdotes. One is that I spoke to the airport health officer in Delhi. I spoke to the director emergency medical relief, because I've been in the health ministry. I know how the system works right from the time plague took place in 1994. The fact that you have this monitored at a very high level makes all the difference. You get heard, decisions get taken, and you don't have to look over your shoulder and send files. It happens in moments. That's a very big thing. The APHO was so convincing, the way he said, this was several days ago that I talked to him. You are screening not just the people who appear to be at risk, but three rows behind, three rows in front. That's a very big thing to be doing according to the manifestos and using the integrated disease surveillance program of the government, which was set up in 2010 with World Bank assistance. That is when these other diseases were spreading, but it's come in very handy. Now, on those scores, in that basket, I think India is doing extremely well. You couldn't do better for a country which is really the size of, it is a subcontinent. France is the size of Tamil Nadu, Bihar is the size of Germany. We're not talking about states, we're talking about countries, and we are managing that. Two things which worry me a lot is, if state governments do not also respond, and they have to respond to the WHO guidelines, WHO Geneva, and not make up their own, you might say, theories. Yeah. If they follow the WHO guidelines, they would be doing the right thing, but it is more than possible that some would be a bit casual or a bit slow in doing this. Second thing that worries me, and this I hope your viewers are listening, I am not blaming the public, please don't misunderstand me, but there is a sense of entitlement among most educated Indians. Hamara kuch nahi hona hai. And to hell with it, I'm not going to wear a mask even if I'm putting somebody else at risk. I am going to do as I please. I'm going to, like this woman who just went away from Bangalore to Agra and told a whole heap of lies, and her parents or whatever it is enabled her to do that. This is really, really irresponsible. And I must say that our population, our people who take decisions in the homes, be their fathers, fathers-in-law, be their mothers, be their actual, you might say, householders, they have to look at the public good and not only their own good.
Absolutely. So, and I can see both our doctors here in studio are nodding in agreement with you, Shailaja Chandra. But I want to first touch upon what you said, the WHO guidelines must be followed, because the WHO guidelines are emphasizing on testing. And testing is essential for identifying people who've been infected and for understanding the true scope of the outbreak. Now, the WHO is insisting and urging, and again today they have done so, that you must increase testing among other measures to contain the COVID-19 outbreak. WHO has said that some countries are doing aggressive testing and they will report higher numbers, and they should not be punished for that. They've also warned that in many countries it will get worse. Please look for cases. Please do testing. A plea over there. Things are going to get worse. Remember that the US has come in for a lot of criticism for the way that they have been handling this entire situation. And the question, of course, is India doing enough? Because India has been relatively less affected. I say less affected because there have only been two deaths so far, about 80 persons who have found who've been found positive. But the testing currently takes place only at 52 government accredited labs in the country. How does India compare to other affected countries? Dr. Budhiraja, so the fact that we only have 52 centers, they're government run, a lot of people may not be even being getting tested. Do we even know the magnitude of the problem that we're facing today?
Absolutely. So right now, you need to understand, how is the testing being done? What's the criteria? So anybody who has had a recent history of travel in the last 2 weeks, or has clearly had a contact with a confirmed positive case, these two groups of people are advised to self-quarantine themselves at home. If during that period of self-quarantine they develop symptoms, then they are advised the testing. If during the self-quarantine period they remain asymptomatic, no testing. So this is the algorithm which is recommended by Government of India, ICMR, which is sensible for an early phase of an outbreak when you know the cases are primary cases who have traveled,
yes,
or immediate secondary cases where there has been contact with a positive case.
Are we beyond that now?
That's the question. Now, to answer that, are we beyond that? And logically, any country in that natural course of progression would be beyond that after a particular time.
Hmm.
Now, to answer whether we are or not, we need to start the testing for suspected cases who don't fit into the previous two categories.
Yes.
No travel, no contact, but let's say they come down with symptoms or even the clinician is suspecting that.
Hmm.
Now, how do we handle those cases? Right now, that is being left at a decision between the clinician and discussion with the nodal officer and how the nodal hospitals decide on that. Why WHO is recommending to increase the scope of testing is to really pick up this local transmission in community, whether it's happening or not.
Mm.
And if it is happening, then if we are not doing that, we are actually missing on cases which will actually increase the spread in community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to contain at this stage of epidemic.
But also, since the gestation period could be up to 2 weeks.
That's right.
Correct?
Yeah.
Dr. Pavan? Dr. Gupta?
Yeah, as Dr. Budhiraja said, that actually what we have, the figure of 80, 85 now, it may be a false negative because actual cases may be more because we are not actually testing the patients who are having the symptoms of the flu, typical symptoms of the flu. So just we are testing the patients who have the history of travel in the last 2 weeks.
Correct.
Along, or they have the lab positive coronavirus patients contact along with the symptoms only. So actually, if we start screening the whole patients who are having the symptoms, then it may be a large impact on the healthcare facilities and it may be a panic for the situation. So that's why the Government of India has restricted only to a specific group.
So, as opposed to increasing the number of centers, as opposed to getting private hospitals to get involved.
So actually, when it becomes the community infection, because now, till now, it is not a community infection. It is just restricted to a particular group. But maybe in the future, if it becomes a community infection, then they may plan to expand it to the other private laboratories.
Shailaja Chandra, it's not yet a community infection, but India is a huge country, a 1.3 billion. Are we underprepared? We have a lot of people living in very close, compact spaces. Social distancing may not really work if you're living in a slum. Is it possible that we could magically skip the kind of numbers that we're seeing in other countries?
No, I think that it will be foolhardy to say that we're going to skip it. It is going to happen. But the containment can be the only way that you can reduce the impact. You're very right. At the community level, particularly once it flares up in a community, then there is, if there's one death case, it means everybody that person has met over the last 14 days, going on to all those who are carriers. Children are the biggest carriers of this. They don't themselves succumb, but they are carriers. Now, how many people are you going to screen? How many people are you going to look on as suspects? It's true that we are trying in India to look for kits which would be able to do the testing in less time. I think Indian industry is working on it. I heard about it yesterday. That is the only way that you make the testing time much, much shorter. If it is short, then you would be able to do this testing in the community, maybe do some randomized testing in congested areas. But this is very, very worrying because the way our communities are placed and the kind of, you might say, myths that are going on, despite copious advertising, despite so many advisories going out in the newspapers, on television, even then people are talking things which are completely mythical. So that is very worrying. And obviously levels of education and literacy being what they are, there is a tendency to just, treat it as though it is, oh, ye pehle bhi SARS bhi hua tha, wo bhi MERS bhi hua tha, kuch bhi hua tha. It doesn't get down to us. India is able to overcome. That kind of complacency is very, very worrying.
Very worrying.
And that is the only place where governments have to reach out to communities. That is why I would say that whether it is a district magistrate who should be given powers to recruit and employ anybody in the government to do this house-to-house checking, just to check on symptoms. We have done it for polio when we had to do it. India does know how to work at the community level. The time has come when that would have to start.
Again. All right. Again, we have two callers, I'm told. We have Sandeep calling from Ahmedabad. Let's listen to his question. And again, the important point Shailaja Chandra has raised there, those people in Kerala, I think it's in a London-based American couple that walked out of a hospital, refused to get themselves tested. Similarly, a case, was it in Delhi, I think, where somebody again felt that they didn't need to be tested. From what I read, they said that they got tired of waiting. It was taking too long for the test to take place, so they got impatient and they just walked out. But go ahead, Sandeep from Ahmedabad. What's your question?
Yeah, good evening, everybody.
Thank you for waiting, Sandeep. Go ahead.
Yeah, there is no question because there was a question that has been answered by the seniors over the panel. I belong to a travel fraternity. But I request the media to show the positive cases, right? But I also request which are the cases are sorted out in the market so that the hospitalized, those are recovered from this panic situations. If you could give that into the in your news channels, it could be help us to release the panicness in the public. That is my request.
Absolutely, because it's having a huge impact on the economy. Thank you for raising that. I want to go across to Sparsh Khandelwal, who is joining us now on We the People. Sparsh, thank you for your time. You are the founder of Stylework. And Stylework is a co-working space aggregator, which is something like you aggregators in tourism and Make My Trip. And I can imagine right now co-working spaces, which at one point of time, even 3 weeks ago, were the coolest thing to have hit India, and all of the youth were interested in hanging out with these co-working spaces. They must have taken a huge hit.
So indeed, they. So there are two sides of it. So they have taken a hit towards it because the spaces were not sanitized when it all started. But as all of these things, you know, in last 2 weeks started to come up, these spaces have got highly sanitized. So actually now we have got the demands from corporates shutting down their main campuses or a 500-seat campus or a 700-seat campus. They're shutting down for 7 days or 10 days because they've found a coronavirus employee inside, so they're skeptical about it. So they have asked to us, can you provide flexible spaces solutions to our employees, or can you provide remote working softwares to our or a mixed solution to our employees for this?
So fascinating. There's an opportunity everywhere, you're saying, that because you have smaller spaces, that it is easier to clean and sanitize spaces like yours. Okay. Abhijit Bose works in the hospitality industry. He's a hospitality consultant with 33 years of experience in luxury hotels, boutique hotels. Abhijit Bose, are you as upbeat as Sparsh is? Because he says there has been a silver lining in all of this for his industry.
Well, in hotels, I think we are yet to see the worst come in, because the spike in India hasn't happened as yet. And if that is going to work, then I think it's going to become worse from where we are. In Calcutta, we are seeing a degrowth of about 20-25% of occupancy. And the ARR has come down by about 25% in hotels. So there is a very iffy sentiment in the city right now. As far as India is concerned, we have about a drop of 17% in the week of March the 2nd. I don't have numbers of the week we are in now right now, but March the 2nd week we were down by 17%, which is far better than countries obviously like China and Italy, where it's down by 78%. So I think once the spike comes in, we'll know what's going to happen. Footfalls in restaurants have gone down. Bookings in hotels obviously are suffering big time. Conferences are getting cancelled. Seminars are getting cancelled. Social functions are getting cancelled. So there is a fairly bad sentiment which is happening in the tourism in the hotel industry.
You know, the SARS, just hold on there. I want to bring in Venkesh Gold to add on to what you were saying. Venkesh Gulati, VP Federations of the Automobile Dealers Associations. Venkesh Gulati, you know, the SARS outbreak, which was way back in 2002, 2003, it infected about only 8,000 people caused, then we said, you know, only $50 billion in comparison to what one is expecting today with the coronavirus. That's simply because the world's reliance on China is much more today than it was 17 years ago. And Wuhan is where coronavirus has emerged from. So your industry, the automobile industry, the automobile sector, which was already taking a beating in India, now just being bashed in further?
Yeah, obviously it's in a real bad shape. And as you have already said, now our base on China for spare parts and the vehicles is huge. We have now two big companies of Chinese which are manufacturing in India. So they are all taking the big hit. And this is on the verge where we are sitting when BS4, BS6 transition is happening. And we are seeing a deadline which has been given by Supreme Court, which is 31st March. With all this corona scare and actually what is the problem we are seeing, it is becoming very difficult for the auto industry to really grapple with these problems. And we expect whatever figures you have shared for the SARS, I feel it will really grow more than that because it's just a start. We are looking at it. We just got an order today from Tumkur, Karnataka municipal, saying that all the business will close shut for 7 days. Think of those. If there are these things escalate and a lot of more municipality go ahead, how will our businesses suffer? We'll have to pay the salaries. All the fixed expenses are there. So taking care of the virus and with the situation of economy, I feel it will be really a problem for our industry to get a cover from this virus effect.
Wow. So, no easy way to say this, Mr. Bose, the coronavirus, from what we know, doesn't tend to kill that many, or it could, not everybody susceptible, but it could certainly bankrupt more people and affect the economy much more. And is that the real global concern that for now, perhaps we can't really focus on yet?
Yes, you're right, because we don't know how much more damage is going to happen, because the losses, the global losses, I'm talking particularly about the hospitality industry.
Yes.
We have no clue what kind of global losses we're going to accrue over the next 2-3 months. Some study says that a quick fire recovery, if that happens in the next month or two, the hotels start stabilizing in the end of quarter two. And a pessimistic view is turn of the year. The hotels start stabilizing. That's a pessimistic view. So it's unknown, completely unknown right now about the amount of effect or impact we're going to have in our industry because of the coronavirus.
Okay. Sparsh, if you can come back in here and now talk, you're a founder of Stylework. This is a startup. Now, startups specifically would be especially affected or no?
So indeed they are, because see, in startups there are possibly one stream working in. So if that stream is the business line of that stream is getting affected, so that it's affecting them. Their P&L, for a couple of months their P&L, the profits are not going to come, so the salaries are not going to go. But again, as there's an opportunity here. So startups need to understand that they need to have backup streams for the businesses. So they cannot just function over one business stream. So as for the good businesses or for the good startup models, you need to have two business streams or three business streams or a backup business streams. Or in situations like this, is your team ready to innovate or iterate or pivot the models around what can work now? So yes, it is for a lot of startup industries it is affecting, but there's an opportunity to innovate here.
Mr. Venkesh Gulati, is there an opportunity then? Perhaps some would say maybe the automobile industry also needs to look at it the same way. Yes, of course, parts are being made, and that's the way the global system is. One would be naive to say that you can't have parts that are made in China, but there's an opportunity now to have more perhaps make in India.
See, in the manufacturing industry, innovation cannot come within night. You need to create infrastructure for that. Setting up an industry to create parts. And normally in an industry, the lead time is minimum 3 months. So if we want to sell a vehicle in April, you will start at least ordering spares and managing the production line in January. So as a whole, we are already 3 months behind. And as I told you, the BS4, BS6 deadline is coming.
Absolutely.
Where the problem is becoming more. What I should expect from the government as of now is to see how they can support the businesses, the economy, all the deadlines to be, I'm not saying open, but at least till the coronavirus scare is controlled and we are back on track, the dates are changed so that at least all businesses, and this has happened. If you see the Australia, even US and Germany, they have given some rollouts, some support to economy till the time the corona is controlled. So they have done as per their country different ways. But yes, seeing that it is needed in the country also, the Indian government should think of how to support till the time this is controlled.
All right. So plea there going out to the government. Thank you so much. Thank you for that. Well, like you're saying, the reverberations, the repercussions of this are going to be felt and seen for months. But as of now, there is a task at hand. And right now, the Indian government is sending rescue flights to Milan to evacuate hundreds of stranded Indians, many of them students. And we have one such student joining us from Milan. His name is Suraj. Suraj, you are supposed to now finally be taking a flight out of Milan. Where are you? Who do you have around you? I can see other students. Take us through what you've been going through, what the last few days and hours have been like.
Okay, ma'am. My name is Suraj. I'm from state from Maharashtra. And we have a lot of students here who is belong from different regions. And since 2 to 3 days, as per Indian government, they banned like COVID-19 certificate. Because of that, we can't fly. So now, finally, they are going to airlift us now, finally. Yes.
So how does this work? You were in Milan. Now, finally, there's a flight coming to Milan. But I know that there have been other Indian students in other places in Italy. Italy, of course, making headlines because of this lockdown. So physically, explain to us, how do you get to the airport? Is the public transportation system running? Do you have taxis? How have you physically managed to get there?
Yeah. Okay, ma'am. We are managing by the taxis because the metro is not work everywhere, okay? To reach Malpensa airport, we have to use taxis or Uber cabs now. And in the as per this, we reach here and it's not easy to reach Malpensa. So that's why we already tell them that we you have to help.
Okay. And lastly, Suraj, you know, finally, you will get to come home. You, of course, won't get to see your family immediately. You're going to be in quarantine for 2 weeks. But the last few days, what was that like? We've been hearing stories of how food has not been available. Of course, I'm sure probably running short of funds, all of you.
Now you can see, ma'am.
Suraj?
Yeah, ma'am. Once we reach in India, they are going to quarantine us because of they want to check after 14 days, we're going to positive or the negative. And as per this, they are going to fly directly to Delhi. And as you know, like all Milan is locked down, so there is no shops, nothing else. We have to take a lot of precautions. If we want to go out, we need to show our medical certificates to enter the shop. So the situation is very worse here. So that's why we appealed the Indian government to airlift us. And finally, we got airlift. And now we are going to fly to our country, our home. And thanks to our Indian government, PMO, our Ministry of Foreign Ministry, everybody, we all, behalf of all the students, we are very thankful for our Indian government who take this action within 2 days. And this is really a very healthy flight because now we are in fears in Milan. So this is one of the best moment for us. All of us, everybody is from different regions. Like you can see behind me, there are a lot of students who stuck in Milan from long time. So pray for us that we will do a safe and healthy journey. And
well, have an uneventful flight now, Suraj. Finally, this ordeal for all of you ending, and for your families too, for your parents, who I'm sure will be so grateful to finally have you back home on Indian soil, at least before you could return home. But Dr. Budhiraja, you know, some examples there, perhaps much to be learned from Italy's example, because there they have a complete lockdown. He's saying you need a certificate to even step into a shop to buy a good. Do you think India could ever reach that stage?
So I think this is a time when India should do those things. It's better to do overdo things at this stage if we don't want to have a situation similar to what is happening in Italy. I think the first positive step of stopping the visas for all international travels was a very positive thing. Kerala has been partly sealed, but I think as the numbers increase, sealing other borders and restricting travel should be done.
Dr. Gupta, last word to you as a pulmonologist. What exactly, what advice if you had to give, if anybody was watching and everybody was worried, any words that you would say, what do people need to do to look out for themselves and their loved ones?
If the people there are healthy, then they should take the precautionary measures like regular hand washing with the soap and water or with the alcohol containing sanitizers. They should maintain a distance of at least 1 meter or with the sick people or who is having the symptoms. And the most important thing is to avoid the going to the overcrowded place. So this is the main things which one should take the precautions. Because there is no treatment or there is no vaccination as such. Only the immunity or the good hydration and good nutrition, that is a crucial for managing the patients with the coronavirus.
Okay. And what would you say to those young, let's say healthy people who are unaffected, who, like these people in these hospitals today, both in, I think, Kerala and in Delhi, who said that, look, I don't see any symptoms. I don't see what the fuss is about. I'm okay. I can walk out here. What would you say to them?
The most important thing is to restrict them to the, we should not quarantine everyone. Basically, there is some guidelines, WHO guidelines for the quarantine. And for the healthy people, they should not restrict to the home, but they, and the mask, as far as the mask is concerned, everyone should not wear the mask. Mask should be worn by only the patients who are sick.
All right. We have, thank you. I want to just go across to Sangeeta Reddy, because one of the important aspects of this whole crisis, which we don't want to miss out, is on those testing centers. As of now, only 53 government-run testing sectors. Sangeeta Reddy, first death in Delhi now has been reported, second death in India. And if these numbers amplify, parallelly, what can the private healthcare sector do to ready itself to support the government right now?
So I think that there is always scope in a country as large as India to say that we should be doing more. But for now, I think the government is doing a judicious mix between testing, isolation, advisory, and saving kits in case the situation escalates. They're also in the process of acquiring more kits and activating the private sector as well for more testing centers. So right now, I would say that all the appropriate steps are being taken.
All right. And lastly, I want to just get your word, your response to the fact that India stand on testing, where the WHO is recommending that we, all countries, not just us, do more testing, not enough. The US has come under scrutiny for not testing enough. Where do you stand on India's testing, which is only being conducted at these 53 government centers?
So I think clearly that plan of containment is something that the government has been working on and implementing, whether it was shutting down airports, screening in airports, putting a real, almost a ban on large public gatherings. So all these are progressive steps. The government has been in constant touch with the private sector, especially over the last 10 days. We've been a lot more engaged. The private sector is ready to step up. They have said that if given the kits, they will start participating in the testing and screening, which is an important part of containment. Many corporates are following what we're now calling as good safety guidelines for COVID-19, whether it's work at home, reducing the amount of interaction. So various steps are being taken. And finally, I think the most crucial aspect that everybody is looking for is what is the role that private sector can play in treatment if and when required, when this thing scales to another level in terms of the number of patients requiring beds. So I'm very happy to say that the Health Ministry and the Health Secretary has been in touch with private sector, and FICCI, CII, NatHealth have all got together with all members, including Apollo and many others, saying that when the government asks us to step in, that we will step in a large scale, open up beds that have already been identified as isolation beds. So these isolation beds can be accessed specially by the infected patients.
Thank you all. That brings us to the end of the show. We'll see you next week, and goodbye, or perhaps what I should say now is namaste, or as Donald Trump got a elbow bump, that's the new goodbye. Thank you. Thank you all.